We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Marty Griffin. I find it troubling, terribly troubling when I wake up really early in the morning, and I pop open my computer and I start looking through all the folks that have reached out, and overwhelming number of folks that have reached out these days are folks who can't find vaccines. I don't know where we go from here. This better turn soon, or we're going to get real problems. It's going to take... I heard Rich Fitzgerald last week on this very show saying it could take 20 weeks, 4 months, 5 months, maybe longer, just to get the first round of vaccines in, because not getting the numbers they suggested. Could take 60 weeks to get to all of us. In the meantime, folks will die. And the most vulnerable, ma'am, the most vulnerable should be getting all the shots right now. And I mean the folks in long-term care. I just think they should jump the line ahead of everyone. Of course, all the frontline workers are getting theirs, and that's fantastic. But the very top of the list next should be the folks in long-term care. And my friend, Tony Rita, who has been so deeply and dramatically affected by COVID, he lost his mom. And the story could be told 1,000 times, but each time the pain is deeper. It's death by 1,000 paper cuts, and it's horrible. Tony, good morning. How are you, sir?
Marty, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tony and I are what we call office friends. We talk all the time, actually. We run into each other on the way in on the office in the morning. I'll tell you how kind he is. He gave me this little metal device out of the blue. Literally said, hey, Marty, here, take this. And we're complete strangers other than we're radio friends. Right?
Well,
right.
Marty, I followed your fight with cancer. My wife got me hooked on you. My wife listens to you every day, and I started listening to your show. I don't always agree with you,
sure,
but I respect how you deliver your message, and I appreciate you having me on the show. I was, to be perfectly candid with you, I was a little reluctant to do this.
Sure.
My three older sisters thought that it would be very important for what's going on with nursing homes. My wife felt that it would be important, and I will do the best that I can to get through it with you. I'm warning you, though. I tell my kids this all the time, and my wife knows that I cry easy. I used to cry when Lassie was over when I was a kid, and that's just the way it is, man. So bear with me, and I'll do the best I can.
Hey, that makes us twin sons of different mothers, my brother. So let me tell you how kind he is. We're walking in the door one day, and he knows I'm immunosuppressed, and he knows I shouldn't get COVID. My man reaches in his pocket. He grabs this funky metal device that allows me to open the door without touching it. And
that's a COVID key. That's your COVID key.
COVID key.
That's it.
So he grabbed me last week, and I was in tears like he was about his mom. COVID took his mom. And tell us, Tony, what happened?
Well, you know, it was a long battle. My mother had hip surgery back in October of 18. She was about 86 years old when she had it. She didn't do real well with it. I've often heard that, you know, once you break a hip, that it's that just leads to other issues, and she struggled with it. She was set to have corrective hip surgery to try to alleviate some of the pain in early February of 20, and shortly before her corrective surgery, she had AFib. She was put in the hospital for around a week. After she was in St. Clair Hospital, she was then put into skilled nursing for rehabilitation from AFib, and the Kane facility down there on in Scott Township, right, was recommended. She'd convalesced there before when she broke her hip back in October of 18, and it was a very good experience. So she went back in there, and she had rehab with AFib. Myself and my oldest sister, Christina, tried to discourage her from having the surgery, you know, after her AFib subsided. She was adamant about having it. She went in, had the corrective surgery in late February, went back into Kane to rehab her hip, wasn't responding well with it, and lo and behold, the pandemic hits, yeah, and they basically shut it down in mid-March of 20.
All right, hang in there. I got to take a break. You got to hear this story. You know, Tony could be speaking, and he is speaking, for thousands and thousands of people. He would die for his mom. He would switch places with her right now. And he trusted in the system and the facilities, and then COVID hit. And his mom was isolated and alone and in pain. And this story should stop. We've got to get everyone vaccinated because of this type of incident. 80% of the COVID deaths, 80%, 75 years and older. More than 60% of the COVID deaths in this county, in this region, long-term care facilities. Check that out. That's with 2% of the population in those facilities. It's dangerous. And there's no end in sight. However, they're working furiously to get folks vaccinated in these long-term care facilities. But quite frankly, there aren't enough vaccines to go around. And for Tony Rita, it's too late. He lost his mom. And what particularly hurts me about his story is his mom is one of those that I heard some of the radical right out of this world need to be in jail talk hosts talking about, well, you know, they're 80 years and older. Who cares? Really, man? Really? If I get one more text from one more moron talk host or social media wannabe saying to me, how many of these people are 80 years and older? As if they don't count. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Tony Rita joining me. It has to infuriate you when you hear those morons throwing those numbers out there as if you're older than 75, to hell with you. Right, Tony?
Yeah, Marty. You know, it's very frustrating to hear that. I think that is what was probably most frustrating for my family when we were going through this. I got a sense from a lot of people that, you know, people that age, you know, they've lived a good life, et cetera. But there's also a way to do things the right way, and I think that's what was just so frustrating to my family. And you know, my beef isn't with the healthcare workers,
right,
because the healthcare workers, I can tell you, are warriors. I think I've referred to them that, you know, I've called them warriors to whoever I've spoken with, because you know they're on the front line. All they're doing is following what they're told to do through whoever it's trickling down from. And, you know, for us, you know, we kept thinking that things were going to change. We kept thinking that things were going to open. We kept thinking that, you know, we're going to be able to get in there and see her. And I think I shared this with you in one of my conversations with you. You know, my father's in a neighboring facility to where my mother was.
Right.
They've been divorced a number of years, and his facility is close to where she was. And, you know, again, a very similar rhetoric. And, again, we were just sitting there thinking, okay, well, it's March. It's going to be opening
That's
up
right.
again in May. It's going to be opening up again in June, whatever the case may be. We did not have a window visit with our mother until June 20th.
Wow.
We then had a couple of other window visits with her. They did the best that they could. They truly did.
It came.
It wasn't ideal, but, you know, she was, they'd bring her to a window. She was probably 20 feet. You know, she's 89 years old. She doesn't see that well. You know, we're 20 feet from her. And there's an air conditioner above her, and, you know, it was hard to hear her. I'm sure it was hard for her to hear us, but they tried. They did the best that they could. So we had window visits with her up until her last one, which was in September, which was her 89th birthday. And after that, the weather became, you know, they had no more window visits, and then there was talk that, well, we're going to try to do something where we can go inside and get you to come inside and put up plexiglass and do this and do that. And, you know, I think that was a lot of trouble for everybody, and it never happened.
Tell us when you were informed that your mom had COVID.
So, my typical routine, Marty, and just to share this with you,
yeah.
You know, as I said, my dad's in a neighboring facility. I would call my mom's facility at 7. I'd jump in the shower. I'd come to work. I'd call my dad's facility at 7:30. Mm. I'd make my rounds. I found early on in this process that if you don't empower the people that are your eyes and ears to take care of your parents, you're screwed, because you need them and you have to pump them up and you have to encourage them and thank them. And I tried to do that daily.
Sure.
In the morning and in the evening. When I first found out, I'd spoken to my mom in the evening. I would typically do a conference call with her and my sister that is local.
When was this, Tom?
And
when was this?
When? I'm sorry?
When was this, buddy?
This was late September, and she sounded awful.
Mm.
And the next morning, I woke up, and the lead story on Channel 4 News was, Kane has an outbreak.
Mm, I remember.
So I immediately, on my way to work, instead of calling, I drove to the facility. And obviously, they wouldn't let me in. They sent out two people to talk to me.
Mm.
And they explained to me what was going on. They told me how they were trying to handle it. My mother had tested negative, even though it sounded like she was positive. So she ultimately ended up testing positive October the 1st. And she had the virus. She didn't test negative, I think, until the 22nd, 23rd of October. So she had it a good 3 weeks. I would argue that from a medical standpoint, I'm not real thrilled with some of the therapeutics that they were giving her. But again, that was for the physicians and not for the nurses. The nurses were there every step of the way. She got moved from... She went in there on 2A as skilled nursing. She moved up to 3A when COVID hit. Then she went back to 2B. And I had nurses calling me that took care of her on 3A. And then she got moved to the COVID floor on 2B. I had nurses that I'd become friendly with on the phone were calling me to give me updates on my mother. And they were going down to check on her because they knew that I was beside myself with what was going on.
All right, hang in there for me, buddy. Got to finish this up. Look, people are being destroyed by this. Tony, tell our listeners how difficult it was when you went to see your mom as she had passed. How emotional it was, sir.
Well, it was brutal because it was the first time that I had been able to hold my mother's hand in 10 months. She had not been outside more than twice in a 10-month period when they called me to tell me that she had really digressed over the evening. And for me to get there, my sister and I went over there. We had to test negative on a rapid COVID test. We put full PPE on, face shield, N95, and we went up. My mother was still awake. We FaceTimed my other sisters that lived out of state. We FaceTimed some of her grandchildren. We were told that we needed to leave. We had been there longer than 15 minutes. I told the one nurse that we'd waited 10 months to see her, that we were staying as long as we had to. And she said, "You're right." And we left. I got another call about 2 hours later that said they didn't think she was going to make it. I went back by myself, had to put the full PPE back on, and, you know, say goodbye to my mother. And I think the thing, looking at this after how it went down, I get it. I understand that people are trying to protect this greatest generation in the history of our lifetime. But there's a way to do it. And if I could have bought PPE once a week to go in there and see my mother, if my sister could have done that, whatever the case may be, we would have done whatever we had to do to keep her safe. Who's more concerned with keeping her safe than her own loved ones? And we would have done that. And that's what was so frustrating to us, that here you're finally letting us in here. And again, it's not the nursing home.
Hey, I'm running out of time with you.
It's the guidelines.
You got to be able to tell the rest of the story. I need you to call back 5 minutes after the next hour. Do that.
Okay.
We got to finish this. Got to finish this story. It's just too emotional. I think it sends home a dramatic point. I can't deny him. The story is worth telling because he makes so many good points. Look, we're not tearing apart the system. We're not tearing apart Kane, but we're saying there has to be a better way, man. There has to be, man. You see your mom one time in 10 months. And then she's dead. There has to be a better way. And then we have to make it imperative, that they get these vaccines today. Where the hell are the vaccines, man? I have 50 emails right now with folks. Marty, get me the vaccine. Marty, get me the vaccine. Marty, where can I get the vaccine? My mom is 80. My mom is 90. Guy's mom is 95. God bless you. It's been the most frustrating aspect of my career, trying to help these folks, because for the most part, folks, I'm as helpless as you are. And that, for me, is awful. Hang in. You got to hear the rest of this story and how we can make a difference together. Look, I grabbed Tony for this interview because he could be telling this story for so many of you. He loves his mom. Had his mom in a long-term care facility, in one of the canes, hip replacement. Did not see her for nearly a year, and then she dies. And there's a lot of bitterness, frustration, and a very, very real belief that we need to do better. And I think that encapsulates Tony's feelings. Tony Rita joining me to finish out this emotional story. What's the message? Because the story's so hard for you to tell, what would you like to convey here, Tony?
Well, I would like to convey, as I said at the onset of your show, it's not an issue with the healthcare workers.
Right.
The issue that I have and my family has, if we were able to get in there to see my mother when she was passing in full PPE, why can they not figure out a way for us, for other people to get in there to see their loved ones in person. These people are isolated. Isolation is one of the biggest causes of death with elderly people in the perfect world.
It's true.
Not during COVID, but isolation causes death even, you know, 2 years ago. You throw COVID on top of it, and it makes it even worse. And they have isolated them, and they have put them in facilities where, you know, you can't get them out. You can't go visit them. They tell you not to transfer them. They tell you they're not safe to try to get them home, and they're where they need to be. They're the safest. But yet the healthcare workers have families. They go home. They see their families. And you can't help but bring the virus into the facility. There's no way it's not going to happen.
It's a death sentence.
There's no way.
It's a death sentence, is it not?
It's a death sentence. And if you know that it's not perfect, why not try to keep those people? You know, they're closer to death than anybody. The right-wing talk show hosts that are saying, well, they're over 80, so what? They've lived. They need to go out
with
dignity. They need to go out the way that they came in with people, their loved ones, caring about them.
Sorry.
I mean, you know, it's our job to get to help them, along with the nurses, not just the nurses. Those nurses, I could tell you story after story of things that they did for my mother to try to keep her going, to keep her positive. And it was just an uphill battle. And after she got COVID, it just stacked on top of her underlying issues. And even though she tested negative, the hospice nurse said, this is happening to the elderly because they get COVID and it just ravages them and they're never the same. They can't get out of bed. They have no energy. And even after my mom had COVID, even after she tested negative, why couldn't we see her? She didn't have it anymore. Supposedly she was just facing the after effects from having had it, which were what killed her.
Tell our listeners, because I think it's important that they hear this. This is Tony Rita, lost his mom in her 80s, and she's not a throwaway. She's Tony's damn mother, for God's sakes. And it's as painful as it would be if she was in her 60s, damn it. And tell our listeners, to drive this point home, how emotional it was for you to even leave the room, because they wanted you to leave the room after she had passed her.
I got over there. It was just myself, the hospice nurse from Gallagher Home Hospice, and she was absolutely unbelievable. She was stoic. She was professional. She put her hand on my shoulder. When I got in there, and it was the end. She stood there with me. I got down and I did the best I could to get myself composed. And she basically told me, look, you need your time. I'm going to close the door. You stay in here as long as you need to. Mm. And when you're done, open the door and we'll come back in. Mm. And she came back in. She consoled me again. I remember leaving Marty and every one of the healthcare workers at Kane that took care of her were at the nurse's station. Half of them were in tears. Half of them were telling me how upset they were. Half of them were telling me they wish they could do more. So I don't blame them. They
right.
tried to keep my mother alive. It's let the families in there.
I agree.
If I got to pay $25 to put PPE on to go see my mother, so be it.
I agree.
I'd have done it every day.
And get them the vaccine, man. Get them the vaccine now.
And exactly.
And make
they're
the building safer.
They're starting to vaccinate them. There's no doubt about
it.
They are starting to do it. I don't understand why it wasn't sooner, but you know, it is what it is. It's we got to be better than that. We've got to be better to the greatest generation of our lifetime.
Tell our listeners your mom's name, please.
My mother's name was Jane Rita. She was nothing but class. She took getting up in the morning, when she went to the grocery store, it was a social event. When she went anywhere, she was dressed like a million bucks. Mm. When I was at St. Bernard's in the 70s going to grade school, and she'd come in as a homeroom mom, she was the prettiest, and she was the classiest. And there's no two ways about it.
Tony, I thank you for your courage, and your message is loud and clear, my brother, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm very grateful for you telling this story. I know it's very painful, but I think it reaches thousands of folks who need to know.
Thank you, Marty, and every day we try to do a little bit better, and that's all we can do.
Yes, sir. Thanks, my man. I'll see you in the hall.
All right. Take care, Marty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.